I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Who would have thought in the year of our Lord 2023 that people would still play Ding Dong Ditch? Who would have thought? There's one thing to do, and it's the Salem Witch Trials. But the Salem Ditch Trials. Ding Dong, the time has come. You're gonna burn.
Oh my God. It's getting dark.
We're almost to spooky season.
Ooh.
That's our entire intro during spooky season.
Very spooky episode.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down you. Anyway.
Copyright strike. Yes, Gamers Who Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interests.
Like the fact that football season has started.
Oh my God. Fucking kill me. I hate football. I hate it so much.
Well, good news, only one game to talk about. We're not going to talk about it that much anyway, so we're going to move right on to new releases, Matt.
Oh my God.
Where if you weren't watching football, you could play these games.
Yeah. Do this instead of playing the football.
Is number one, game on here? Chance of Senar for the PC and Switch. Number two, Rune Factory 3 Special for the PC and Switch. Number three, Baldur's Gate comes to the PS5. Starfield is officially out for PC and Xbox. The Dragoness Command of the Flame for the Switch. The Many Pieces of Mr. Koo for the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number seven, Melvor Idol Atlas of Discovery Expansion for the PC. Number eight, Toss for the PC VR Quest and PSVR 2. Number nine, Fae Farm for the PC and Switch. And number 10, NBA 2K24. For everything.
For all the things.
Forever.
Sandlot reference there.
That is a good Sandlot, yeah. Good job, Matt. Proud of you.
Listen, I have seen the Sandlot, okay? I'm not that much.
I don't know what you've seen.
Of a hater.
It's not the deepest reference I've made.
Odds or evens?
Evens.
Oh my God.
Evens. And for anybody wondering, I am trying unbelievably hard for roughly the next hour to not pass out.
He just power napped.
I did. How long was I out for? 15 minutes?
No, longer than that.
Oh no. Okay, shit.
Maybe
30?
Yeah, probably at least 30 minutes, I would say.
Oh, damn. Not shockingly, don't remember any of that.
I honestly didn't even realize that you were out until like, I was like, all right, it's weird. He's been quiet. That's kind of, and then all of a sudden I heard like the heavy breathing.
Oh, I wasn't
at a quiet part in the video. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
it's a good thing. I wasn't a full snore. Cause that'll give it away every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Full snore me is pretty wild.
All right, number one, PAX organizer Reed Pop will not be working on future E3 events, the company and the ESA have announced. The ESA has also informed the Los Angeles Convention Center, which is the traditional home of E3, that it will not be putting on a show there in 2024. The ESA has not canceled plans for a 2024 event, but if one was to go ahead, it won't take place in that venue. Reed Pop had signed a multi-year deal on E3 in 2023. However, the first effort to relaunch the event failed to get off the ground, and the planned 2023 show was canceled. The decision to end the relationship was a mutual decision.
Yeah, it's dead.
That one is for sure dead.
Just toss me a water.
I sure can.
There was a 50-50 moment.
There was, because
where I paused this at the throw and I went, I didn't think he was actually going to toss it.
And the angle is bad too, so it was like drifting to the right a little bit.
But it my right, out, it left. Worked out perfectly. Did a 90-degree turn, dropped right in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one's dead. He's dead, Jim. Mm,
I love lamp heated water. The
yeah.
I saw this come out and I was like, I had the same thought of like, didn't they just sign the deal?
Yeah.
But then also going, yeah, and then nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming the deal. State of Play has been happening for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah.
Or not State of Play, the
both.
Games Fest.
Both things have been happening for.
Yeah, the Games Summer Games Fest.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's just at this point.
Repop's probably just like, we don't want to deal with this anymore.
I feel like that was the case, too, where they're just like, listen, we can't figure this out.
Like, if you guys just don't, it's like, we would help you, but you need to get out of our way. And they're like, no. And you're like, all right, well, never mind that, actually. Yeah. We're just going to walk away.
I'm curious what the ESA thinks that they can do.
That's what I'm wondering is how, are they just being stubborn?
I did read that they still do have plans to reinvent E3, but I'm like, what do you think you're going to be able to do?
Yeah, like, what do you think that means?
So,
you keep using that word, and I don't know if you know what it means.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Princess Bride reference. Number two, Atari announced that it has agreed to acquire the Atari-focused community and news site Atari Age. The site will continue to operate under the management of Atari Age founder Albert Yaruso and his team of volunteer moderators, and Yaruso will also take a role with Atari as the company's internal historian. Atari Age launched in 1998 under the name Atari 2600 Nexus, and was relaunched as Atari Age in 2001. Beyond its active forums, the site contains detailed archives with information on Atari hardware and software, Atari-centric magazine and catalog scans, a storefront, and even a collection of hacked ROMs and PAL NTSC versions for the Atari 2600. Matt, have you ever visited Atari Age or known this existed?
That would have to be a negative.
Same. We're in the same boat then.
Yep. Second coming of the Atari.
Kind of interesting that they bought it and brought it under house. And they're like, oh, you guys are selling hacked ROMs? Yeah, no, just don't worry about that. We're just going to buy you.
I do get the distinct feeling that Atari is trying to have some sort of a like manufactured resurgence because they have that Atari 2600 they're coming out
with. They're doing weird stuff.
Yes. They're doing a lot of things like right back to back that's like, are you guys like trying to do something here? Like,
you're trying to just not be forgotten?
Yeah.
Because that's got a little bit of like, hey, yeah. You know, your dad used to sing in a band, right? And you're like, nobody asked.
Yeah.
Come on, I can play. I was in like a boy band in college. Dad, no. You're not a K-pop singer. Stop.
I'm just wondering if they're going to go as far as to try to come out with a new console. Which would be wild.
I hope not.
I also hope not. I could get behind the whole idea of being like, oh, we're going to look into releasing or publishing games on the current consoles.
Yeah, I could see that. Or like them doing like remasters of collections of their games or something. But yeah, to just outright, wow, we're going to do a new console. Like, and it's not just a new console that plays the old games like the $30 one that you can buy during holidays. this is a new kind. And you're like, ah, wow, ooh, I'm not spending $150 on an Atari.
Same. Oh, I get all the good ones. Number three. Ubisoft Singapore is facing union action organized by the country's Creative Media and Publishing Union. According to Kotaku, the union voiced concerns regarding workplace treatment, equality, and pay at the studio. Ubisoft Skull and Bones has also lost its third creative director since development began in 2013. Two parts to that sentence are crazy.
That first, it has a creative director?
That it's the third creative director, and that development started in 2013.
That's true. 10 years ago for Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm. According to Kotaku, Elizabeth Pellin left Ubisoft Singapore over the summer to return to the publisher's headquarters in Paris. Pellin, who was previously VP of Editorial at Ubisoft Paris, is now working under the title of Director Editorial Online, according to LinkedIn. The former creative director joined the games team at Ubisoft Singapore in 2018, quote, to reboot the creative direction of Skull and Bones, end quote. The publisher told Kotaku in a statement, quote, she succeeded and the Skull and Bones team is now fulfilling her vision to deliver a unique naval action RPG experience to our players, end quote. The publisher added, quote, it's not uncommon for a creative director to move on to a new project or role, end quote. However, two anonymous sources claim Pellin was, quote, expected to last at least through the end of the year, end quote.
So it's weird when you're expected to reach the end of the year when I'm still not sure the game will be out. And while it isn't necessarily, you know, it's not uncommon for a creative director to move on to a new project or role, that's technically true.
Yeah.
But usually the game would have come out before they've done it.
Yeah. Or is scheduled for release.
Yeah. You wouldn't be on your third one in this same sentence.
Yeah. This is a shit show. As we already knew.
Yep. Let's talk about number four. Blue 12 Studio indie game Stray will be turned into an animated film. As reported by Entertainment Weekly, the 2022 title will be adapted by Annapurna Animation and led by Blue Sky Studios co-founder Chris Wedge. Great last name. Annapurna Animation is led by Robert Baird and Andrew Milstein, both former Disney Animation executives. Baird said the adaptation of Stray would focus on the buddy comedy and hope punk aspects of the game. As for why the studio chose to adapt Stray over other Annapurna Interactive titles like 12 Minutes and Outer Wilds, Milstein said it was down to the indie hit being wildly popular among players.
Making a smart decision.
I'm curious to see how it actually ends up being received as a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have high expectations, but I just like the idea that we picked the most popular game we had.
But like, how long is it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Is it a 90-minute animated movie on Stray?
That would make sense. I mean, most animated movies are 90 minutes, but or around there. But I don't know. Who knows?
Here, can you see this?
Who knows? Is that a cat in a fish tank?
Yeah, they like put an insert in so the cat can go up inside and like look around while it's in there.
Oh, okay. I see it. I can see the box now. That's pretty neat. I feel like that would just make the cat go even like more nuts.
True. Yeah.
Number five. Former PlayStation boss Sean Layden shared his thoughts on the future of games during the keynote at last week's GameIndustry.biz Investment Summit in Seattle. Speaking on stage, Layden spoke about his biggest concerns among the many challenges the industry faces in the coming years. Quote, first, consolidation can be an enemy of creativity. I also think rising costs in games are an existential threat to all of us. And the entry of non-endemics into the sector, otherwise known as the barbarians at the gate. Right now, we see all the big players going, oh, gaming, it's bringing in billions of dollars a year. I want a piece of that. And so we have Google, Netflix, Apple, and Amazon wanting to get a piece and trying to disrupt our industry, end quote. As you'd expect, Layden expanded on his concerns in a thoughtful manner, so if you're curious, go check it out.
Sean out here doing the thing.
Yep. The transcript was a little bit longer. It was pretty interesting because the moderator or, you know, host or whatever, who he was having the conversation on stage with, surprisingly, you know, gave some thoughtful responses and some pushed back on some of the things he said, which made Layden like expand on them and flesh them out more.
Right. Yeah. Which is the way to do an interview. Yep.
So it was interesting. They talked at length about the idea of non-endemics, which I had to look that word up. I didn't know what it meant. It's essentially businesses that their income is not based on that market, but like, you know, Google, their business is like ad revenue and stuff like that, things that aren't direct consumer products.
Right.
Yeah, it was interesting. Sean Layden, the man, the myth, the legend.
Number six, The Chinese Room has been revealed as the new developer for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Paradox Interactive, the publisher and IP owner, announced the UK studio's involvement during PAX West in Seattle this weekend and stated the game is currently due to launch in autumn of 2024. I love when people interchange autumn and fall. I don't know why. It just makes me chuckle.
I don't know why either.
I wonder if it's a European thing, like couleur instead of color.
Is there...
It's a French thing specifically, but...
Does the other seasons have multiple other... Like, does the other seasons have other names? Autumn, fall.
I'm not going to attack you for your grammar, but I want to. I don't know why. Don't.
Do the other seasons have other names?
Does the other season have other names? There's something in there that just sounded wrong in my head. You might have said it correctly, but something triggered in my brain and went...
The sentence, if you break it down, doesn't like...
But yeah, are there interchangeable names for other seasons?
Yeah.
No.
None that I can think of.
Summer, spring, fall, autumn, winter. There's interchanging. No, they're not even interchanging, though. They're events, like solstices.
Yeah. But you know how, like, you can refer to fall or autumn.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, interchangeable name for spring, winter, and summer.
Frozen
winter.
Time. Spring, beginning of warm time.
Summer, hot.
Hot, no likey. That's how I'm going to do it. Well, what season is it? Hot, no likey.
I'm like, okay.
We want middling cool. No frozen, two froze. Cool.
Autumn, fall.
No mud, too gross. Dirty, no likey. Ground get cold. Nate get happy. What season am I?
Chaos.
Number seven.
Is that my turn?
It is. What am I doing?
I don't know. Number seven, Electronic Arts and Codemasters have announced EA Sports WRC. The game will be released on November 3rd for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and PC via EA App, Epic Store, and Steam. Early access will begin on October 31st for those who pre-order the game. They'll also get the VIP Rally Pass for 5 in-game seasons and 3 livery and apparel packs for Toyota, Hyundai, and Ford. EA Sports WRC is priced at $50 on PC and $60 on consoles.
That being said, probably also if you get EA Play, you can probably avoid that.
Yeah, I would assume so as well. Now for some details about the game. The game is powered by Unreal Engine instead of Codemasters' Ego Engine.
Curious about that.
I am also curious about that. It uses the Unreal Engine, but it has Codemasters' physics engine, which kind of makes
now
sense.
Now I'm more interested.
Yeah. Where was it? The new builder mode allows fans to craft their own rally car by selecting the chassis, body shells, and mechanical parts before customizing the interior and exterior.
Oh?
It includes 18 official FIA World Rally Championship locations and over 600 kilometers of asphalt, gravel, and snow stages.
That's such a weird...
That is weird. Weird way of...
Yeah, wouldn't you just say how many stages you have instead of saying, no, but there's one stage... is 100 kilometers of snow, and you're like,
I guess the trick is they say 18 locations, so maybe there's, I mean, assuming,
but they say that of stages, so are some of this, is it, you know, 18 stages, quick math, I can't do that math, but we're gonna guess 30 well, something different, but do you think they just have like it also the same thing in reverse, they run the reverse course and they
that's
go,
what I was counts. Yeah, they might be doing that type of shit where it's like, ooh, it's different.
Or,
a night and day.
Or seasons.
Yep.
What, that same area, I give you in cold time. Ground hard. White stuff fall. You drive. Slide. Whee!
rainy time. Mud. Sticky.
Sun come out. White stuff go away. Water arises. You splash, splish. But
people are going to listen. Like, these guys are
what the hell is wrong with them? I missed that dude from Finland or Sweden. We had some guy. It might have been on one of the YouTube episodes, like randomly in our very beginning, our early days, or maybe it was an iTunes thing. I can't remember now. Somebody did leave a comment about like, oh, I listen from over here, and it's, you know, it's entertaining or whatever. And I was just like, I hope he's doing well. I know he doesn't listen anymore, but I hope he's doing well.
Hopefully. The game also features 10 current WRC, WRC2, and Junior WRC vehicles, and 68 of the most iconic rally cars from the past.
Junior WRC, what do you think that is?
I'm going to half-size cars? I'm going to assume it's like as close as you can get to a stock car.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like the... Like big wheels
yeah.
of rally cars.
Here's the interesting thing. The multiplayer mode supports up to 32 players across all platforms because it's crossplay.
What does that mean?
Like, do you just, like, you don't...
Can you get a second person? So it's 32 players, but two people in a car, so 16 cars. Does that also mean... So stage one happens, right? Everybody races stage one individually? Just on their own time, it's not, you know, like everybody says go, they're in their own world that does that. Or does it mean actual stage style
where a
30
like really
second
seven.
Car is waiting for 31 other cars to get released, and then it's just the entire time is him just listening to
I mean, what would be the point in saying we have a 32 person multiplayer if it wasn't you're all racing on the stage at the same time? Yeah, like what would be the point?
So you're saying
I'm saying the
by
traditional
default, they should be in all in the same level so they could crash into each other and everything else.
Yeah, you're releasing every 30 seconds.
Right. It would be that's how it should be. I agree. And I just picture I want the glorious meme to come out of the guy that's releasing 30 second to just be blasting like Barbie Girl or something while he's just kind of like just jamming out in the back of the row just waiting like yeah, that's bad. Shifts into first, moves 5 feet forward, back in and just jam it again.
Yeah.
It's basically, that guy's Night at the Roxbury until it's lights out and he flips down the visor and immediately turns into Hello Kitty Island Adventure music for his race.
Yeah.
The hardest music you can think of.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what this is all about. If it'll be... If it's good, bad, if it's rushed, it's well-received, if it's whatever this case may be.
I'm hoping it's good from Codemasters. That's, the thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping so as well. And it's been a long time since we've had a new rally game.
Yeah, not counting when they just dropped the normal WRCs.
Yeah, which was half-baked.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't given the same love as other
yeah
titles. Number 8, SAG-AFTRA is calling on members to vote on whether or not the union should be given authority to declare a strike for video game actors and performers. In addition to its strike against TV and film production companies, the union is currently negotiating the terms of its interactive media agreement with a number of video game publishers, developers, and service firms. If members vote to authorize the strike, it does not necessarily mean that the strike action will take place. Instead, as SAG-AFTRA explains on its website, it gives the union the option to initiate a strike if negotiations with video game companies fail to produce a deal that satisfies its members. The union is asking these companies to agree to the following. The same wage increases for video game performers as those in TV and film. 11% retroactive to the deal's expiration, and 4% in both the second and third years of the agreement. The union argues these are necessary to account for inflation. Artificial intelligence protections around consent control, transparency, and compensation. On-camera performers to be given rest periods of 5 minutes per hour, the same as off-camera performers. What? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't... What? That doesn't already exist?
I don't know, man.
You're giving the off-camera person five minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving the on-camera person 5 minutes? What?
I mean, I guess the assumption is that they also get that time, but it's probably not written into the contract.
Maybe.
So that they want it written in there.
Yeah. Set medics to be present where any stunts or hazardous work is performed, as is the case with TV and film. Again.
Makes sense.
I you need that written in, but like that should have been a default thing that companies were doing. Prohibitions against stunts on performers' self-taped auditions.
That's an interesting one.
I guess them saying like, "Hey, for one of the
go jump off a building,
for one of the scenes in the game, we're gonna need you to do like the Uncharted. I'm thinking of the Uncharted 4 bridge chase scene with like swinging on whatever, and then being like, hey." We need you to show us you can do that. So can you like go film that and then send it in?
Can you swing between some buildings on spider webs for us?
So in this game, we're thinking about doing a torture scene where we hook up jumper cables to you. Can you simulate that?
But we want you to use a real car battery and real jumper cables.
And real pliers to take the nails out of your fingers. Right, Trevor? Can you do that? And protections against vocal stress. So, yeah, you know, maybe don't have them only be able to ever do one game and then ruin their voice to never do the sequel.
We want you to scream this whole game. That'll be interesting. I wonder if we're just going to end up with just a giant fucking strike. A giant entertainment strike. Since we're already... What do we got? We got the... film and TV, the actors on strike. We got the writers on strike. I think the directors did not go on strike. I think probably they true. Actually got a contract. There's other people on strike too, but it doesn't matter. Number 9. Let's go over some Starfield news. Starfield reached 1 million concurrent players on September 6th.
A lot of players.
Starfield has become Bethesda's biggest launch title with more than 6 million players, surpassing previous releases such as Skyrim and Fallout 4. Starfield appears to also be the biggest launch for Xbox Game Studios.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
Because it depends on, I guess, technically where everything gets defined.
Yeah.
Does Xbox Game Studios exist at Halo 3's launch? Not technically. So...
The previous one was Horizon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A previous biggest launch was Forza Horizon.
Forza, okay, I was going to say.
Whatever the latest one was.
You know, the latest one was 5.
Yeah, 5.
When you said Horizon just on that, I was like, oh, yeah, Forbidden West did not come out to... Dude, I've been so... This is unrelated to Starfield, but I've been so gassy today.
Protein?
Yeah.
Lots of protein?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But gassy.
There was some times today at work where, you know, hey, we're going to have a fun fart conversation real quick. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I got to hit the bathroom. Because like we're in the 50-50 state where I can feel this building. Either I'm going to shit myself
in
my desk.
You don't want to take any chances.
Exactly. So I, you know, just go to the bathroom like a grown adult should.
As you do.
And I'm in there and I'm positive you could hear me in the hall. Because it's just air. I am playing the fucking tuba.
It's funny you should bring that up. Because
dangerous so if you and work, I are in this mode.
At work, there is a bathroom that shares the men's and women's shares like a common entry point. So it's your classic, like double door sized opening, and you go right for men's, left for women's.
Okay, yeah.
But the thing is that you know. People like to, they are on their way to the bathroom and they'll see each other and they'll sit there and talk in front of the.
Which is always, it's the best place to have a conversation.
So I was going to the bathroom today and these two women had decided to have a conversation right at the entryway to the bathrooms.
Oh no.
So I don't know why I decided to do this, but I was going to the bathroom to pee. So I went into the bathroom and like, there's no doors on the. Like, you walk in, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of an example, like, it might be like, I don't know, like a fucking...
It's like a stadium bathroom where there's just troughs? Where there's troughs?
No, like, like, you walk into, like, you go right for the men's bathroom, and you go left for the women's bathroom,
yep.
But there's no actual, like, doors that separate, like, you walk in... And, like, you can't see into them, obviously, because there's, like,
right.
you have to go around a half wall.
Yeah, you turn on the wall, yeah.
But, and then it's just stalls. So, okay. It's, like,
so
open.
Is there anything really defining left and right? Or is it there's a sign, but, like, is there anything really defining? Like, is there urinals on one side and not on the other?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I went in there, and I started peeing, and I purposely tried to pee really loud. Then I also just like farted my fucking brains out as loud as I could because I knew they were standing in the hallway talking. So I was just like, there's no way they can't hear this. Like, but I don't know why I did that. Like, it was like, I'm going to do this. Something just came over me.
You probably had that same moment of annoyance where you just be like, why? Yeah, just go anywhere else. That's it. You got to listen to this now.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you walk back out and they were still there?
No. They'd gone into the bathroom.
I'd say, because that would have been even better is if you walked back out and they were still there and you just went.
Yeah. I know for a fact, actually, that they did. They could hear me because I could hear them talking. So,
oh, okay.
There's no way that they
did. And there was at no point where they went, that guy's got a heavy flow.
That's what I was kind of hoping for. But
there have been some people. We don't need to have this conversation, I guess. We're talking about Starfield. There have been some urinary feats of achievement, I feel like, where I think there's people that could have put out the California forest fires
that I have heard.
Just there's also people that I'm concerned.
I have so many bathroom stories
that they would just like if you had tied them off like a balloon that they would have blown up, and then themselves would have just done that whole like deflated balloon where they're. There's just so many people that I feel like they can't be healthy because they're trying so hard that I'm like, you're going to hurt yourself. there's no award for pissing a hole through the porcelain. But some people think there is, apparently.
Yeah.
And if I ever one day see that there's a gouge in the porcelain, I'm going to be so impressed.
I've never felt more normal than I have since started working at this current place of employment and experiencing people going to the bathroom. Because, like, that has not made me, nothing in the world has made me feel more normal than that. Because, like, the things that I've heard and experiences of, like, you know, people in stalls next to me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
There's people that I'm positive have given birth.
That's what, like, like people in the stalls who are struggling so much, they're going, ah, and their feet are literally, like, scraping at the floor. Some dude, I'm pretty sure, used an entire roll of toilet paper. Like, you could just hear the toilet paper just spinning. Constantly going, ripping. I was like, what?
The one that kills me, I've talked about this before, but the one that kills me is the person with a Bluetooth headset mid-conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
And just continuing, like, nothing's in there. And you want to talk about how you felt the need to make sure the women outside heard you?
Mm-hmm.
If I catch that and I'm in a stall, I am going to make so much noise. I debate just pounding on the stall, even though I'm not doing anything at this point. It's just like, I'm ready to get off, you know, just be done and go clean up. And I just want to start like banging on the door, like, oh my God, help, help. I'm going to, oh my God. And just loud enough for the people on the other end of their call to hear me, because that is the rudest thing in the world I can do. Like, I've done this when we've been playing games.
Oh, the old
back in the day of like, take the headset to the bathroom, microphone's open, and you just start peeing, and somebody's like, "Are you really pissing right now?" And you're like, "All right, pretty funny joke." But if somebody's doing that in a professional environment,
I've had people.
I would call them out in the meeting if I could hear that in the background and be like, "Are you seriously in the bathroom right now?"
I've had people eating in the bathroom in a stall.
Eating in the bathroom
in a stall. I'm assuming they were shitting and eating at the same time.
Who does that? It's not a bowl of cereal. You don't sit backwards on the toilet.
Trimming their beard in the sink for whatever reason. No real reason to be doing that. They just were like, this seems like a good time. What other weird? I don't know. We could go on forever. Anyways.
I just want that guy that ate in the stall to have committed to the point where he brought up a fold-up table and had a four-course meal.
That would be pretty dope.
Like, I just really love, this is a Daniel Tosh reference, but I just really love a bowl of puffins with whole milk, and this is the most convenient place for me to have it. Because I'm going to eat it and then shit my brains out immediately. Because I'm a lactose intolerant. Like, you know what, man? Yeah, I get that. Hey, so Starfield. Did a lot of record-breaking things.
According to Bethesda's support team, Intel's Arc GPUs don't meet Starfield's minimum system requirements. Todd Howard said that the team optimized for PC, and those claiming that this isn't the case should consider upgrading their systems. There's been a lot of complaining about the state of the game as far as optimizations go. I don't know if you caught any of that this week.
Yeah, Todd Howard with the hit him with the old, how about you're not poor?
Yeah.
And there's two things I say to that. One, love that. Hysterical. Also, no, it's not optimized.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It also depends on what they, I guess there's also this caveat. It depends on what he means by the word optimized.
Yes. And that was kind of the thing, is I feel like people are not, they clearly, when the question came up before the game released, what are the performance expectations? And I remember it was a thing for a little while because Todd Howard clearly said, this is a 30 FPS game.
Yes, because they locked it on console.
They locked it on console, and he said, you know, it's locked on console and PC, you might be able to get 60.
Yeah.
And I remember that being a thing, and now people are fucking pissed because they can't get much more than 100 frames per second with their fucking $1,600 GPUs. I get it. Should, in a perfect world, should you be able to hit 300 frames per second or whatever? Yes. But he clearly defined expectations, and we are talking about a Bethesda RPG.
Right. So there, here's my, not counterpoint, but
yeah.
Yes, we're talking about a Bethesda RPG, so take everything in with that.
Yeah.
Also, yes, he may have defined 60 on PC, but guess what? It's not optimized at 60.
Yeah.
That's the part that baffles me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing Starfield, played about an hour and a half.
Yep.
And
how is it running for you?
And I'm playing on a 1070 Ti.
Yes.
I'm using about half the VRAM. I'm playing on a mix of medium and high settings. My graphics card is 100% in usage. I could turn a couple things down. But there's two big noticing things in terms of performance specifically. If I'm in a building.
Yes.
Like one that I've transitioned into, not just one that I've walked into willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
One that, like, you know, you hit that, like, full loading screen as you go through the door. Everything in there is fine. If I'm landing on a planet, getting out of my ship, and then, like, walking around, sometimes it'll stutter or whatever. It's doing the same thing that Jedi Fallen Order did, where I think it's loading way too fucking many resources that aren't relevant to that moment.
Yeah.
And then when you go into a building and dump all of that to then just be in your controlled little thing, it's much better.
Yeah.
So, and the game is 110% built for console.
Yeah.
And I say that because of the way they did their controls.
It is and it isn't.
When I say of how it does its controls, it bugs me. The immediate thing that bugs me, and there's ways around it, but like the immediate thing that bugs me is, by default, scroll wheel down and scroll wheel up. While it is an RPG, it is an FPS RPG, and that does not cycle your weapons.
Yes.
Is my number one complaint. And I cannot make that an option.
Yes.
You can use the quick menu, which is bound to Q by default, that brings up the four ways, and then select your gun out of there, which is what I've been doing. It's going to take some muscle memory to remember that that's that. Yeah. But like, I'm okay with that being an option. But what I would have rather had was a four menu thing of like four guns. You just place them in there where you want, and then you flip through them using the wheel.
Yeah.
Like
literally every other game.
I am never going to scroll wheel down because I want to all of a sudden be in third person. What?
Yeah, that's... I still do it. I look for the guns.
And I don't know if this is true, and I haven't tested it. And I'm just thinking about it now. Mm-hmm. I believe by default, grenade is bound to mouse 4. Mouse 3 is considered scroll wheel down to zoom out. My side buttons for 5 and whatever, I rebound to healing to be my side button.
Okay.
Instead of 0.
Okay.
Because that's what your quick heal is 0.
I'm not even that Who reaches
for that?
I don't know. I mean, the key bindings are definitely a mess.
So I moved it to mouse 5. But none of the buttons I hit on my mouse, not mouse wheel in, not the other one, not left, right, nothing, equaled mouse wheel 4. The thing I did not try since I have now picked up grenades is flicking mouse wheel up. And I swear to God, if mouse wheel up is mouse 4 and that's throwing my grenade, I'm going to have an aneurysm.
So I agree that the key bindings and some of the are kind of a mess. And they clearly were set up with the idea of face buttons in mind.
Yes. I'm also not happy with their graphics options, but that's a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way to change the brightness that I could find.
You either play in windowed or borderless full screen. You cannot play in dedicated full screen.
That's interesting.
I believe. Unless I'd have to go back into the menu and mess around with things again, but I don't believe that was an option, which is wild. You can change your resolution, but you can't change your frame rate. You can change your render scale, your resolution scale, to be lower or higher on 100% point. So you either match your resolution or you drop it down. But even when you change your resolution, and I'm playing at 2K, you can't say, well, 2K at 144 because I have a G-Sync monitor.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Also, what is up? We've complained about that. I think we've both complained about this, but I've 100% complained about it since Battlefield 1? 5? 1984? Why is film grain this beloved setting now in games?
I don't know, dude. That and motion blur.
Motion blur, I can understand only because... whatever, you're moving, blur things, okay, fine. I turn it off, but like, I get what they're kind of going for. But why is film grain a thing?
I don't know. Without fail, the first things I usually do is turn off film grain and motion blur.
Yep, same.
The one thing I will say, how has ship combat been for you? Fine.
So I only did the
tutorial
of ship combat. And it felt fine. It actually felt pretty good.
So
I was actually surprised.
Feel the same way. A coworker. Do you have any friends that are playing it on console?
No, my one friend that is playing it right now is playing it on PC.
Okay, so a friend is playing on console, and I think that's kind of where the console got fucked, or at least with the default settings. I don't know if he's messed with the sensitivity too much. Using the joystick in ship combat is kind of a disaster.
Okay.
Because you know how on, like, I'm assuming it's because with the mouse, you have more,
you're just playing follow the cursor with the
mouse. Yeah. You're more nimble than you are with, like, the joystick. And, like, you get outturned really easily with the joystick, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's like using the Destiny menus, right?
Yep.
It's really annoying to move that cursor around to click menu options, where if I just have a mouse and click go, it feels so much better.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what they probably do luck out on? Easily being able to change their resources is probably better on a controller.
Yeah.
Like putting things bonus into lasers or thrusters or whatever. Mm.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because currently you're doing like a 5-button combo to manipulate things.
Yeah, I haven't gotten too much into it. I'm not even out of like the tutorial stuff yet.
I'm out of the tutorial in quotes. I left New Atlantis.
Yeah, I'm not even there to New Atlantis yet.
Yeah, so that's the first
fucking. I'm at the planet. I'm at the very first planet you go to where you have to kill the fucking pirate guy.
Okay, yeah. You're on the way to New Atlantis. Quick detour, then go to New Atlantis, and then you end up. That's where you then leave.
Yeah,
and so now that's where the game is like opened up again.
Mm. I immediately got to the planet.
I've heard fun stories.
Yeah, I got to the planet where you take out the pirate captain, and I immediately was like, "I'm gonna go fucking look around, man."
So this is what I was wondering because I did 100% want us to play in the same room at launch after I saw like what kind of could happen, especially after you leave New Atlantis, and I was like, because I didn't do that.
You went straight.
We literally did our Fallout experiment where I end up in Diamond City and you've just gone into fuck off area wherever. Yeah. Did you find anything?
Well,
did you land at the other place?
No, I landed where you're supposed to. And then I don't know if you remember, but there's the building you have to go to for the pirate captain.
Yes.
And off in the distance, there's like
a weird structure to the left.
Yes.
Yes. I do. I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that's interesting. And then
I saw that and was like, what are you? And I went over there. It's a fracking station, in case you're curious. And there's a whole thing. There's a ship over there. And I was just like, oh, ship? I'm going to go on this. Cool. So I went on the ship. There's people on there. And they were like, oh, what are you doing? And then I got to the captain. And he was like, oh, hey, you're here to pick up the cargo. And I'm like, yeah, buddy. And that was... That's basically what happened was there were some smugglers and they were like, oh, you're here to pick up the shit. And I was like, sure. And I took their stuff and I walked out. And there's a whole fracking station and I was trying to steal their shit, but I don't think I'm that far
yet. Right. That's where I don't know when that happens because did you go back and deal with the captain yet?
No. Tower captain? I'm literally outside the door because I went around. I also wanted to know what would happen if I did all the surveying on the planet, like scanned all the stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I scanned a bunch of stuff and like...
I attempted to, and then I got almost killed by that spider thing.
You have to like scan like a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, I was like 8 and 8 or something. Yeah. And some other thing.
So I did that, and now I'm outside the building.
So I went through the building,
mm-hmm.
took care of my business.
Yep.
Got to the pirate captain.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have some fun. Not really spoilers for you, but
you know. Yeah.
I'm assuming
he's your typical, like...
You're about to do this. He's your typical pirate guy.
Yeah. And you probably have a couple ways you can go about doing it if you choose to.
Per normal Bethesda.
Yeah.
So you get there and you get in that nice little conversation time and you're like, you got options. You can start lying and attempt to persuade people of things. And so I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? I'll try to not have to kill him. Because I have no idea what's going on. Like... All I know is that I have a gun and I must go to New Atlantis, apparently. You get thrusted so far and so fast into, hey, cool, yeah, no, you're just doing this mining thing. No, go pick up this other thing that none of us are, well, I don't like these gravity readings. And no, you're fine. We'll be here. Well, you're fine. Oh, now you have a ship and you need to go take care of this. You're like, this escalated quickly.
I've heard that the game does not hold your hand a lot.
No, I just think of it from the, you know, if you and I were standing here and somebody went, hey, go pick up that thing. And then all of a sudden we are now enlisted in the Marines. And you're like,
yeah. Oh, how did this happen?
What? In 5 minutes, we're getting deployed into a war-torn area. And we're like, what? And so I get to the captain. And I tell him that I killed Bennett and took the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he just wants the ship. And he's like, I don't really give a shit about you and blah, blah, blah. So their persuade mission or persuade system is interesting.
Yeah.
So they give you like a challenge of either 4 or X amount of like things. And there's easy persuasion things and harder persuasion things. You need to, they'll tell you on the side of like +1, +3, +5, whatever. I'm sure you probably ran into this actually with the smugglers.
I did not, but my coworker explained the way the system to me.
So you're still rolling the dice in mm-hmm. the background of, you know, if you succeed or not. And I managed to convince him that he didn't want to kill me and didn't want the ship and just leave me alone. And he's like, all right, fine, get out of here. If I ever see you again, I'll kill you. I was like, all right, cool. Sounds good. Deuces. But obviously they've designed this area for like a pseudo boss battle. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to see if there's any like resources around, typical like health crate or something. So I'm just running around looking at things. There's nothing really. And I'm like, he did insult me after all. And they have an explosive barrel directly behind him. So it's him, 2 guards, and there's an explosive barrel. And so I just kind of like walk around another crate and I'm looking over there and I'm like, you didn't put it there for no reason. And so I blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kill the 2 guards immediately. He takes a massive amount of health. He's got like a shield. End up killing him. In the middle of trying to kill him, though, and having to like reload and everything, a giant pirate ship just sends out of the sky, lands, and starts like unloading dudes to continue fighting me from like the mountainside. So now I'm into this whole fight. And I think I technically could have if I had been fast enough. I'm not positive about this, though, because the ship does end up taking back off on me. That if I had just sprinted it, I might have been able to get in the ship.
So,
but I'm not positive.
It's funny you should say that, because I did come across a Reddit post where someone mentioned that in that part, in the part with the pirate captain,
mm-hmm.
you can get a ship that is like a pretty substantial...
Which, that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be at the fracking station, which is why I went to the fracking station. And mm-hmm. then there was a ship there, and I was like, oh, here we go. And then I couldn't do anything with it. So that might be the ship they're talking about.
Maybe.
But then I also came across the post that talks about how those interactions go, and it's kind of based on if you can pilot the ship or not.
Right. So depending on which perks you probably picked in the beginning.
Yeah. So like, if you are able to pilot the ship, and you get onto the ship, the ship will stay there. But if you can't, if you don't have the skill to pilot that ship, the ship will take off.
Oh, interesting.
And there was a video.
Way to handle it.
Yeah, there was a video that popped up of someone who got on the ship, but then the ship took off, and they were like ejected out of the cargo hold. It like clipped through the whole thing.
All right, well.
Yeah.
How about Rumor Roundup?
Rumor Roundup.
Deep Silver said that Saints Row and Red Faction IPs will live on at PlayOn. According to a movie insider, a sequel to Hogwarts Legacy is already in development. Todd Howard said that Indiana Jones can be brought to video games in a unique way, and people have now theorized a 2024 release. A Nintendo Direct is rumored to be happening soon-ish and may feature Donkey Kong and F-Zero. When's the last time F-Zero featured in a Nintendo Direct?
The dude who leaked it used, like, the most convoluted way to reference F-Zero. He said, fans of MATLAB are going to be interested in...
The software?
Yes. Because there's a function in MATLAB called F-Zero.
I fucking hate that person.
That's what I was like, are you fucking serious right now?
Like, fans of AutoCAD are going to love our new game, House Flipper. Why?
Oh, that's so stupid.
City Skylines 2 in your engineering software. Get away from me. Valve has submitted new hardware for radio certification. Valve is calling it 1030. The Valve Index was 1007, and the Steam Deck was 1010. People are assuming it is the Index 2, which Valve internally calls Deckard. The Lord of Belial. It's a Deckard Cain reference.
See, I think of Blade Runner.
Yeah. Oh, no, trust me. That's probably what their code name is based on. And I'm immediately going to an old man who screams about the coming of the end times.
Which, I don't know. Gabe Newell.
True. Speaking of VR, Nintendo rumored to be collaborating with Google on a standalone VR headset called Nintendo Glass.
I saw this and I was like, for some reason, I was not surprised, because we were having the conversation the other day, and people were like, oh, they should just do the Switch 2 and just make it a little bit better and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's fucking Nintendo. They are not going to do what you think they're going to do.
Quick, what do you think they're going to do? No. That's not ridiculous enough.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Ugh. Bastards. Dirty, dirty bastards. Anyway. There was a leaked image.
You skipped.
I know. There was a leaked image of Twitter that was copyright struck by Take-Two on Twitter, actually.
Yep.
That was weird if it just took a picture on Twitter. That was copyright struck by Take-Two that said the reveal of GTA 6 will be October 23rd with an October 2024 release date. Multiple news sources are reporting that the Switch 2 was demoed at Gamescom. Some are saying that it was demoed with the Matrix Awakens Unreal Engine 5 tech demo. The demo is said to have been running using NVIDIA's DLSS upscaling technology with an advanced ray tracing enabled and visuals comparable to Sony and Microsoft's current-gen consoles. Some people are saying that the Switch 2 has 12 gigabytes of RAM, and some people, me, are saying if that was the case, the Switch 2 would be as big as the Steam Deck at least.
I'm bigger. That's more shit. What's the Steam Deck got in it?
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying, at least.
Yeah.
It would at least have to be that large. And Red Dead Redemption 3 is reportedly in the works. But hey, how about we release GTA before we talk about that?
Yeah, I know, right? All right, now for the questionable things.
Questionable things.
That we didn't write full paragraphs on. Roblox will be released for PS4 and PS5 in October.
I can't wait, dude. I'm going to be
Roblox-ing my balls. I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't think you can say that.
Electronic Arts plans to significantly increase its focus on a handful of its biggest online franchises over the coming years.
Like Madden and FC and hockey.
That's basically it. Oh. Andrew Wilson said, "We are blessed in that we have FC. We have Madden. We have Battlefield. We have The Sims. We have Apex. We're building out Skate. And so we're going to disproportionately invest in IP as a platform."
The fucking creative side of EA that they just split into, just looking at them for like, please a crumb. Please just give me a little bit of money, sir.
They're dead. Fucking dead.
Please, sir, can I have some more porridge?
Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis hits 2 million downloads. This is a mobile RPG that launched globally yesterday.
It's a lot of downloads for a day.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has sold 2 million copies since its 2019 release.
Pretty good for a Castlevania game.
Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster has sold 3 million units across PS4, Switch, Steam, and mobile.
A lot of Final Fantasy.
THQ Nordic has announced that its remake of 1992's Alone in the Dark will launch on January 16th, 2024, and not October 25th of this year. They wanted to move it out of the way of the packed October schedule.
Makes sense.
The Spyro Reignited Trilogy has sold more than 10 million copies since its launch in 2018.
That's actually impressive.
That's kind of crazy. Google has begun public testing for its new Playables feature on YouTube, which brings games to the video platform. Blizzard has confirmed that Diablo 4 will be receiving annual expansions.
We'll see.
And Microsoft announced that the Xbox Digital Broadcast is returning for the Tokyo Game Show in 2023.
And Blizzard also had their event to announce 10.2 coming to WoW.
Ooh.
Going to the Emerald Dream.
How dreamy.
So dreamy. Much green. Such WoW. But we're not going to talk about that because there's a lot to talk about in that. And this isn't a WoW podcast.
Not yet.
It'd be a Football Manager podcast before a WoW podcast.
We talk about WoW when there's things to talk about.
Well, yeah, we do. Yeah. But usually it's like either when the patch is officially out or,
yeah,
you know, expansions or random other little tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, well, here come the patch notes. Let's go over them.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one here that'll understand them.
Sometimes it's interesting.
You wouldn't believe the fact that they're giving you 30% of your DR in this one single ability in this new tier set.
It's fun when they do big changes and the community goes, doesn't know how to deal with it.
Oh, my favorite part is when they do a small change and that same reaction still happens.
Yeah.
Weird how that works, right? Oh, we decided that we're going to make this one quest just not be that effective.
My whole build relies on that one quest.
Classic was such a better fucking game than this. None of you guys were catering to the fucking 1%. This shit is ridiculous. Meanwhile, Classic, one of the easiest MMOs in the world.
Shut up, nerds.
It's just a bad thing about to remember how worse we all were as gamers in 2004. Yeah. Yeah, think about that real quick, that next year is WoW's 20th anniversary.
Oh my god, WoW can almost drink.
WoW can legally go to war.
WoW is war. It's at war.
What is this, that weird WWF commercial? Where Raw is war? You remember that?
I think I do, yeah. Do you remember the whole WWF versus WCW thing? Where they
the fucking NWO?
Yeah, NWO.
ECW?
ECW. ECW.
Dude, I was watching some Dudley Boy stuff the other day.
Oh, boy.
Get the tables.
Dudley Boys.
Because I was sending it to my tank friend, because I was like, this is us going to do keys. Just putting teams through tables.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh. Yeah, have a good time. Nature Boy.
Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Bubba Ray and D-Von.
You remember when they had
TNA might have still been the wildest fucking tag team.
Was his name John Henry? Was that his name?
The guy that Mark Henry?
Mark Henry.
John Henry raced the steam locomotive. Yes.
Was Mark Henry the one that they had lift a car on like Raw? Yeah,
he was
like
he was a yeah. World's Strongest Man competition. Because yeah. It was the joke is it was always him and Big Show as the two like yeah. big guys. Because they were the ones where I can't remember if it was I think was it him and Big Show when they broke the ring. Maybe they had the ring like collapse. Because
I do remember the ring collapsing, but I don't remember who was involved.
Yeah, I think it was those because it was like the whole thing was like the combined weight on the mat is massive.
Yeah,
it's, I can't remember if somebody did like a slam or like an aerial move that's what did it. But yeah, it was wild.
So ridiculous.
What a time! What a childhood time!
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been 7 days. I'd say, what are you playing? But we already talked about Starfield, I guess. So.
Yeah, Starfield. Finished Ted Lasso. It's a good show. Finished my book on the Cold War. What do you think of
the ending?
I
know for some people it was a little 50-50, but I think
it was fine.
They bow it up in like three seasons is pretty decent.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely like I kind of figured how they ended it is kind of how I expected them to end it, which was basically like, you know, the characters kept going with their lives, essentially. Like,
yeah. Like, he had his really, moment. He just now is kind of like, I'm going to do whatever.
They didn't really, like, wrap anything up. Like, they wrap things up, obviously, but it was like, you know, they're still the same people.
Right.
Or in the same situations. But I liked it. It was good. It was fine.
They quite literally closed the chapter of those characters' lives, and they're continuing.
Yep. Exactly. Finished the Cold War book, which is pretty interesting. So there's a lot of, like, it had a lot to do with the development of like the US's nuclear program and like nuclear powered vehicles and all sorts of stuff. So like how that power dynamics. That's about it. Other than like I played a little Starfield like we mentioned and yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Did you see any of the Godzilla trailers?
No, because what's the point of the trailer? You know what I mean? That's just give me the movie. It's Godzilla.
True. These ones actually look... So there's Minus Zero, which is the movie.
Yes.
Which looks really good.
Okay.
Post-World War II Japan. It's like, takes place in like 1954 or something like that. And then there's a TV show on Apple TV that's called Monarch. I can't remember what the subtitle is. But it's got fucking Kurt Russell in it. And it's a Godzilla, like, we'll have to watch this after.
Yeah. What? I don't know. I don't know how to process anything I just heard.
Yeah, I mean, Apple TV, Godzilla TV show, Kurt Russell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks okay. Good.
Yeah, sure. We'll take a look.
What have you been up to?
I've been up to the little bit of Starfield. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft, always. Football Manager, still.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just kind of doing the thing.
Doing the fantasy football.
Yep, did 3 drafts this year. So now I gotta manage my 3 babies the rest of the year. And we'll see how it lands.
Just like a real child, you got to make sure they don't kill themselves.
Funny enough. They don't cause me as much trouble as real children.
That's fair.
So, yeah. All right, then. Well, that's all I got. Until next time, 7 days from now.
Toodaloo, bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.